Open in your Bibles, if you would, very quickly. To the book of Psalms. Which for years call Palms. 139. Verses 23 and 24. I want to spend just a few minutes looking or starting to look. This is part one. It could be parts one, two, three, and four. I don't know. We're going to go until we finish it. Not today, but you need prayer, buddy? That's happened in more than one church. As the kid was being drug out, he hollers back, "Pray, people, pray!" But Psalms 139, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Takes a lot of guts to pray that prayer. If we believe that God answers prayer, which we do, and we believe that everything that we say means something to Him, and that He grants the prayers that we ask of Him in faith, to pray something like that means that God's going to do it. If you're not willing to be searched, don't pray that prayer. Because God, in His power, will search you. Now, let me do a disclaimer. Some of the thoughts, terms, words, and phrases probably came from somebody else. Some of them came from me. So, I'm just throwing that out. That being said, revival will fall or spring up. The Holy Spirit will fall upon us, and out of our innermost being will flow rivers of living water. That's according to the Word. When that happens, there'll be a moment of revival. Now, we'll have to choose whether we're going to participate or not. But I'm here to tell you that right now, we are poised once again on the threshold of a tremendous revival, move of God. Sometimes we have weird concepts of what revival is. Revival is that tremendous move of God where our will becomes secondary, His will becomes primary. Our desires become secondary. His desire becomes primary. It's when God can use us to do His will. And we're a part of that. We're in the flow. The revival that we're looking at, the move of God that we're looking at, is not one, and I don't want it to be one that lasts for just a couple of nights. I want one that will last for months and possibly even years. I am asking God to shake you to your toes. I ask him to do whatever is necessary. Now, I'm laying this out so that you'll understand whenever I get into this thing what I'm really saying. When God surprises us with his wonderful, powerful presence, you and I will never be the same. I've been in those services, revival hits, lives are changed, planning to go maybe 3-4 nights, and you end up 14 weeks, 18 weeks every night. I know what it is. I've been in some meetings where it started out with a handful, and 10 weeks later you had thousands. I don't care about numbers or length of time. I care about the presence of God. The only reason I reference time and the only reason I reference numbers is because that is the result. That's what comes out of that. When suddenly God surprises us, moves in with his presence, begins to move and shake us, there comes with that a holy expecting. That infuses us as we lift the name of Jesus, as we wait upon him, as we watch the Spirit of the living God move among us in ways that few of us could ever imagine. Tremendous healings, deliverances. Let me tell you something. You really get into revival, crazy people come to your church. I mean, you have a church half full of crazy people because they're hungry for more of God. They want a life change. They want God to do something in them. And they're coming expecting, looking, asking. But something else happens in you. Worship, preaching, and prayer suddenly take on a new and totally different meaning. It's not what it was. It is awesome. We are on the threshold of awesome. You and others will be humbled and broken. Lives will be changed. Some of you have been sticking the muds for a year. And suddenly you won't be. You will pull your feet out of the mud and get on the hard road. Now, you got to be from the country to understand the hard road. Where I grew up, yeah, we had a hard road. It was the one that was paved, but most of the others were dirt. And in South Florida, or Central Florida, kind of where we were, Central South Florida, on the ridge, most of you don't know where that is, but believe me, there's a ridge. It's sugar sand. You can get stuck walking out your door because sugar sand just gives way. And you go down unless you know how to walk in it and you know how to ride in it. When we first moved from Clewiston, which was muck fields, up to Lake Placid, which is sugar sand, I was 14 years old, but I was driving. Wasn't supposed to be, but I was. Half the time, Daddy didn't know it, but that's okay. I'd take the pickup truck, the work truck, and take off in it, and I got stuck almost every time I took it out. Somebody had to bail me out, and a couple of times it was Daddy. He was not happy about that. He told me, he said, "Son, stay on the hard road, because you ain't got sense enough to drive out there. You'll get stuck. And when you get stuck, you're not going anywhere. So I'm telling you, let's stay on the hard road with God. Let's stay in the very center of what He's wanting to do. Let's not get stuck. Let's not get off out in the hinderland and get bogged down in the little intricacies of church. You know what God wants? He wants souls saved. He wants lives changed. He wants families healed. He wants bodies healed. He wants deliverance for the afflicted and those that are addicted. What God wants is for His Word to go forward, His love to go forward, and for us to be the carriers of that. That will not happen if we do church as usual. We are not a church as usual church. We're a "What kind of church are y'all?" kind of church. Broken lives changed and healed. There's nothing like it. That's revival. No, revival is me feeling good. No, it's not about you. It's about God and His kingdom and the lost. You say, "Well, I need some." Well, then get it and go with it. If you want something, get it. If you need something, get it. These altars are open all the time. You can come anytime you desire. And you can talk to God, and He grants what you're asking for if you will receive it and walk away with it. There will be, before any revival, there will be true. There must be true repentance. It will not matter one iota if you're a baby boomer, an Xer, or a millennial, or whatever they're calling the crop that's coming up today. The boomers, we're on our way out. Most of us are 70 or over, or at least 65 and over. Then we have the others that are following us. The young and the old will hold hands and kneel together. Amen. It doesn't matter how hip you are or how dull you are. All that'll matter is Jesus is here. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Regardless of who, what, where, or when. Because they'll all be hungry for truth. And nothing satisfies like Jesus. He'll satisfy in the midst of the good times. He'll satisfy you in the midst of the bad times. I believe with all of my heart that God will move in the lives of people. But I believe with all my heart it will not happen. That God will not move in the lives of His people until they first lay their lives at His feet. Asking Him to search their hearts as they repent of their selfish ways. Until we've done that, God is not going to move. There'll be no revival if there's no repentance. There'll be no move of God if there's those that are holding on to the old life. I've watched as God has, God's people has gotten desperate for God and truly want Him to show them their wicked ways. They've cried out like David, "Search me, O God." And they meant it. It wasn't being said for Sally Sue over there or Doofus Face over here. It wasn't our church, so I can say that. Our church don't have any doofus faces in it. We have a few whatchamacallits, but none. When you get desperate and start calling on God, truly search me, O God. Show me what's in here. Suddenly a transformation can take place. That will not happen until we go to Him, lay before Him, and cry out to Him in sincerity. Change me, O God. Move in me. Search me. Such searching requires that the Holy Spirit move some things around. How many of you go searching for something that you've misplaced or searching for something that you really need, and all you do is just kind of walk around like that? No. If you're serious, you start picking stuff up, moving it, and you got scatters, and you get it all together, and you start putting it in order, and you start moving things around because it may be hidden up underneath. That's what the Holy Spirit's going to do in your life. You want all that God's got? Be prepared. Things are going to move. He's going to go in your attic, or he's going to go in your basement. But he's going to move some stuff around. And it's not always pleasant. Because some of us have been putting the trash up under the rug for a long time. I walked in a lady's house in another city, not this city. And she showed me into the living room. And when I stepped on the rug, I noticed that there was a good-sized hump there. Bump, hump, whatever you want to call it. And I got curious. So I was sitting on the sofa and the rug was right in front of me. And I could not get that bump, hump off my mind. She said, "Would you like anything to drink?" I said, "I'd love to have some water." So she got up to go get water. And I'm lifting up the rug. And there's a pile under there of dirt. And leaves. And I said, "I know her hiding place now. She's hiding." It's kind of like the little kid that was in Sunday school, and they were teaching on Adam and Eve, and the Sunday school teacher said, "You know that we were made from dust. Adam was made from dust. God formed, and we're made from dust. And when we die, we're going to be put in the grave, and we're going back to dust." That got that little boy's attention. He puzzled over that. And his mom and dad, the dad was a preacher. And the mom did a lot of visitation. So that afternoon, she took him and they went to visit one of the parishioners. And he was playing with his little ball. And they were talking. And he dropped the ball, and it rolled up under the couch. And he got down, reached, and got the ball, and sat back down, and was very quiet. And his mom looked at him and said, "What's wrong, son?" He said, "Mama, you know I told you about what we studied in Sunday school this morning?" And his mom said, "Yeah, that we're made from dust. And when we die, we're going back to dust." She said, "Yeah." He said, "Don't look now, but up under this couch, somebody's coming or going." Under her rug, somebody was coming or going. But some of you in your lives, you've been hiding things. You've been wearing masks. Everything's cool. Everything's okay. It's not. We got some things to deal with. The only way we can deal with them is to go before God. That our lives will be transformed. That our hearts will be searched. And the only one that can really do that is the Holy Spirit. Such searching will require a holy flashlight. No, spotlight. Shining down in our depths, shining on every one of us. I'm so thankful that we serve a God that probes our lives. He's not going to let you sin and get away with it. You will know it. You know, every time you do something wrong, there's that little voice inside. There's that little feeling that invades. There's that little twinge down in your spirit, man. And you know. But only that probing, only that moving of God, only that moving of the Holy Spirit inside of us is going to truly bring revival into our hearts when we sincerely ask for it. And if we don't ask, it's not going to come. Because we wouldn't receive it. Point one, and I'm not going there, I'm just telling you so that you can fill in the blank. Point one is exposing. When the Holy Spirit starts exposing sin, you're not going to believe the intensity that our services will go to. When the Holy Spirit starts convicting people of sin, sin that's in their lives. Listen, God is not going to convict you about sin in Susan's life, or my life, or Pastor Paul's life. The Holy Spirit's going to go to Pastor Paul and convict him of sin, or Susan of sin, or me of sin, or you. He will show you, like in a mirror, what's going on in your life. That's where revival lies, right on the other side of that. There'll be a new intensity. There'll be a new hunger for God. Not everybody. I've had people leave a church because God started moving in power and in might, and they didn't like it. I'm sorry for that. But God wants to move. And time's getting short, folks. If you'll look at the headlines and see the things that are going on, the way that Russia's been acting and the way the Middle East is right now, there's some things happening. And it's going to get real serious here before long. And we've got to be ready. When you open up every part of your life, when you open up everything that's down inside, believe me, you have no idea how God will grip your heart. He'll shine a light in areas of your life that really need cleaning. And we're going to have to sweep some corners of our character, of our lives. But right on the other side of that is a move of God that'll blow your mind. Right on the other side of that is God saving souls, changing lives. Alcoholics not needing a bottle anymore. They got Jesus. Drug addicts not needing a pill or a hit anymore. Because they have Jesus. Your lives will change. my life will change. But oh, thank God, other lives will change also. Bow your heads with me, would you please?